Welcome to episode 1455 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We are in the midst of a series on the life and times of the apostles. Today we wrap up part one, which has been focused on the past 3 weeks on the Apostle Peter. We began this journey on the shores of the Sea of Galilee with an ordinary fisherman who was called by Jesus before he was ready. And we have followed him through moments of faith, failure, restoration, and transformation. Today we meet Peter near the end of his life, writing from Rome as persecution intensifies around him, reflecting on what he has learned after decades of following Christ, and considering what it means to remain faithful all the way to the end. Acts of the Apostles, Part 1, Chapter 15.
I am old. My hands still carry the shape of the nets, even though I have not pulled a net from the Kinneret in 30 years. There is a kind of memory that lives in the body rather than the mind, muscle and bone remembering what the mind has moved on from. Some mornings I wake and for a moment I am on the water, and then Rome comes back. I did not expect to end here. Bethsaida to Jerusalem, to Antioch, to the cities of Asia Minor, to Corinth, to Rome. The arc of a life I could not have imagined from a boat on the Kinneret. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." I did not know that meant I would end up fishing in the capital of the empire that crucified him. But here I am, and the nets are full, even here. Even in this city of marble and violence, the voice I first heard on a Galilean shore has found its way into households and tenements and the palace itself. People are being called by name out of the dark, and they are suffering for it.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecuted me, they will also persecute you.
I am writing a letter. Silvanus is helping me. He writes better Greek than I do, and there is no shame in that. But the words are mine. The letter is going to believers scattered across Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. People I have met and people I have not. People who are right now experiencing what the empire does to those who refuse to call Caesar Lord. Nero has blamed us for the great fire. His explanation has become a license. Christians are being arrested, tortured, burned, fed to animals in the arena. The stories that reach me are not rumors. I know too many of the names. I cannot go to them. I cannot stop what is happening. What I can do is write. And what I write will either be worth something in the fire or it will not. I write it as if it will. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces. Exiles. I chose that word deliberately. I know what it is to be Am Ha'aretz, to not quite belong to the land. I know what it is to be Galilean in Jerusalem, to hear your accent mark you as the wrong kind. And I know now that every follower of Jesus is, in some fundamental sense, a stranger in whatever city they inhabit. Not because the world must be fled, but because there is a city coming that this one is not. And once you have glimpsed it, you can never quite settle permanently into anything else. I tell them they are chosen, not by accident or by their own virtue, but set apart for something that their suffering cannot revoke. The empire can take their freedom and safety and eventually their lives. It cannot take their election. I tell them their grief is real. I have been in enough grief to know that false comfort is worse than silence. All kinds of trials I write, for a little while. I say a little while not to diminish the weight, I know the weight, but because I have seen the other side, I know how a little while looks from 30 years out. I tell them about Jesus. I always come back to Jesus, not as doctrine to be affirmed, but as a person who suffered and was vindicated, who went ahead of them into the worst the world could do and came back out the other side. A living hope, not a hope that is uncertain, a hope that is alive, that has already been proven in the only way hope can be proven, by surviving what should have destroyed it. I tell them to love one another, to resist the devil, firm in faith, knowing that their brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same suffering. You are not alone. the same fire burning in Rome is burning elsewhere, and the people in the other fires are your family. And I tell them something I have come to understand slowly across decades, that suffering endured faithfully does something to a person. A refining, a solidifying, a discovery of what was always there but needed the fire to be revealed. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Restore, make strong, firm, steadfast. I know those words from the inside. I began this story on the shore of the Kinneret, a fisherman's son from a village nobody wrote about. Rough hands, loud voice, strong opinions, the last person you would design for the work I have been given. That was not an accident. I have watched God work long enough to notice a pattern. He does not begin with the finished product. He begins with the available material. Whatever is willing, however rough, and he works it. Slowly, with more patience than the material deserves. He names it what it will become before it has become it, and then spends years making the name true. He called me the rock when I was anything but. And then he spent the better part of my life teaching me what a rock actually is. Not something that never breaks, something that, having broken and been rebuilt, holds. I know things now I did not know on the shore. Faith is not the absence of doubt, but the decision to keep walking toward the voice even when the wind is loud. Love is not a feeling but a practice, a daily choice toward people who may not deserve it, in imitation of a Lord who loved me when I deserved it least. I know what it costs to follow him. I have known since the morning of the breakfast on the shore, when he told me where I would end up. I am at peace with it, more than peace. There is something in me that has wanted to make good on the promise I made in the upper room for 30 years. I will lay down my life for you. I meant it then, I mean it now. Just, not that night, not in that courtyard, in this city, when the time comes. Upside down, they tell me, will be how I ask for it, not worthy to die as he died. That seems right. Simon Bar Jonah, that is still my name. The fisherman from Bethsaida who could not answer a servant girl, who slept in Gethsemane and swung a sword at the wrong man and wept bitterly outside the high priest's house, who drifted to the wrong side of a table in Antioch, because he was afraid of what people from Jerusalem would think. That man is also Peter, the rock, the one who confessed at Caesarea Philippi, who walked on the water however briefly, who stood up at Pentecost and told 3,000 people exactly who Jesus was, who went into a Roman centurion's house and came out changed, who is writing this letter in Rome while the empire burns Christians in the streets and means every word of it. Both of those men are me. I have stopped trying to choose between them. The failure does not cancel the calling. The calling does not erase the failure. They exist together, in the same life, held together by something that is neither my virtue nor my consistency, but simply his refusal to let go of what he has named. Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. I have tried, I am still trying. The sheep are everywhere, in Rome and Pontus and Galatia, and places I will never reach in a body. So I write. And when the writing is done, I will do the last thing left to do, and I will do it as well as I can, in the name of the one who did it first and turned it from an ending into a beginning. Come and see, follow me. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Then feed my sheep.
Acts of the Apostles, Part 1. Peter, the Rock, from fisherman to shepherd. The story of a man who was called before he was ready, broken before he was useful, and rebuilt into something that has lasted 2,000 years. Not because he was exceptional, because he was willing, and because the one who named him did not name what he was, but what he would become. Peter's story is ultimately not about Peter. It is about the patience of Jesus, the same Lord who called Peter from his nets, forgave him after his denial, restored him after his failure, corrected him through friends, and empowered him through the Holy Spirit, never stopped shaping him. Many of us wish spiritual growth happened quickly, but Peter's life reminds us that discipleship is the work of a lifetime. God often names what we will become long before we can see it ourselves. He works through victories and setbacks, courage and weakness, faith and doubt, slowly making us into the people he intends us to be. The good news is that our story does not depend on our ability to hold on to him perfectly. It depends on his determination never to let go of us. And if we continue saying yes to his call, one day we may discover that the name he gave us has quietly become true.